The following program is made possible by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Pride wills, the objective of pride is to separate you from God. The objective of pride is to get you to the point where, you know, you're thinking, I can do this without God. I don't need God. So what makes you think that carrying your care, that you have a potential to deal with it better than the God of grace?
I'm a world changer.
This is Changing Your World with Creflo Dollar. Now from the World Dome in College Park, Georgia, here's Pastor Dollar with today's message.
This morning we're going to talk about pride, humility, and grace. Pride, humility, and grace. Because even though Jesus has done all that's necessary for us to have victory and a successful life, we've got to understand the danger of pride. We've got to understand the freedom of humility. And we've got to understand the power of grace. And for us to allow the world, society, or religion to give us the wrong philosophy and definition concerning this issue of pride and humility, it could be the very reason why you're stranded, the very reason why it seems like you're stuck, the very reason why you're always questioning and wondering, why is this not happening in my life? Why is this not taking place in my life? So I want you to listen to me very carefully this morning. I believe this can change your life. Psalms chapter 10 and verse 2. Let's read verses 2 through 4 out loud together. Ready? Read. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Notice the wicked, through pride, is not interested in seeking after God's counsel. He's not interested in being dependent upon God. He's not interested in relying upon God, not the wicked. The wicked, through his pride and because of his pride, chooses to stand independent of God. The wicked, through his pride, chooses to say, I don't need God. I can do this without him. And the Bible says in verse 4 that he will not seek after God, and God is not in all of his thoughts. Now let's go to Proverbs 11, verse 2. The book of Proverbs, chapter 11, and verse 2. Proverbs 11 and 2, he says this: when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. So here you see, when pride shows up, guess what follows pride? He says, here shame comes. So when pride comes, a lot of destructive things can come because pride is there. When pride comes, shame will come. Do you not understand that the number one weapon that the devil uses against Christian people is shame? He wants to try to shame you out of what Jesus Christ has made available to you. But notice what has to be there. Notice the position you have to be in order for that to happen. You have to be in a prideful position. But then he goes on and he says, but with the lowly is wisdom. The guy who's ready to become God-centered and dependent upon God, there will be wisdom. So now the Bible is showing us now that there's this huge difference between a guy who places himself in pride versus a guy who will place himself in humility. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. Verse 5 says this, likewise, you younger, and just look at this now. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, and all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Now notice, he says that this being clothed with humility involves submitting and making yourself subject to. And then he says, for God resisteth the proud. The word resist means to actively fight against. God resisteth the proud. So if you're in pride, God will actively fight against that pride. But he giveth grace to the humble. So if you're humble, God will give grace to the humble. Now, we've got to make a distinction here because this is the difference between destruction because you're prideful or grace because you're humble. How many of you want this unmerited, undeserved favor of God working in your life? He says, so your position in life determines what comes to you. If I am humble, you'll find grace. If I'm humble, there'll be an abundance of grace. The issue with that is whatever your problem is, if you're humble, there'll be grace to deal with that problem. But if you're prideful, then you don't want the grace because you think that your way of doing it is going to be better than God's way. And the more pride you walk in, the farther away you get from God. And so that's why he says God's going to actively fight against that pride, because God is not going to sit there and just let the relationship be destroyed. God loves us too much. He is too committed to this relationship to allow your independence to separate you from him. He will change the circumstances to make sure that he doesn't lose you. He will change it. You'll operate in your pride, and you think you know what you're doing, and your pride separates you from God, and you get farther and farther away from God. God's like, no way I'm going to let this happen. So he'll change the situation. He'll change the circumstance. He will change something because he's not willing to just sit back and allow you to be stolen from him. He's not going to sit back and just let the relationship die. God will fight for you. Boy, that's powerful. That's powerful. Even though you're in pride, God will fight for you. He will actively fight against that which is trying to separate you from him. Now, hear what I'm saying. Pride will, the objective of pride is to separate you from God. The objective of pride is to get you to the point where, you know, you're thinking, I can do this without God. I don't need God. I don't need to depend on him. And God's like, oh, no, I'm gonna fight against that. I'm going to fight against that because that is deception for any man who can walk on the planet. For any man who's alive, breathing, the deceptive part is this part where you think that you can live life independent of God. He says, I will fight to keep you. I will fight for you. I mean, who wouldn't serve a God like that? Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's fighting for you. Man. So at this point, just with these three areas here, he goes on and he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Now, humility, you have to voluntarily submit yourself to God. Humility is not something where, you know, you go to God and say, God, make me humble. God can't make you humble. You have to volunteer to be humble. You have to volunteer to be humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. You know, I'm talking about you have to volunteer to be humble. I'm talking about if you walk in humility, grace will come. We got to know what it is. We got to know what humility is. We can't have some half-cocked religious definition of humility and not know what it is because there's a lot on the line. We got to know what pride is. We just can't be basing the definition of pride based on what we've heard religiously or based on what we heard on TV or what we assumed it was, because our life's on the line. These are two words we got to know. With precision, we have to know it. And so he goes on here and he says, humble yourself, therefore, before the mighty hand of God. Why? That he may exalt you in due time. All right, so now check this out. The people who choose to humble themselves before the mighty hand of God, look at the promise. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and watch this, so he can lift you up in due time. Now, I've said this, I'm going to say it again. I believe we are right in the middle of a season of lifting up. I believe God is about to lift some of you up to such a point that some of you just going to, you're going to look up one day and you're going to say, how did I get here? I'm telling you right now, before you get there, how you going to get there? You got there because God lifted you up there. And I know that some of you may be in situations where you think there's no way I can be lifted up here. There's no way I can get promotion here. I mean, I hadn't been here long enough. I don't have enough education. I'm the wrong color. I came from the wrong neighborhood. But when there's a season of lifting up, and when you operate and position yourself in humility, God will lift you up even if they didn't like it. God will lift you up even if they didn't mean to do it. God will lift you up if he got to lift everybody else in the company up just to lift one person up. This is the season of God lifting you up. Somebody grab it right now. This is the season. The season. And he said, when is he going to do it? In due time. Say due time. Now, I don't know when your due time is, but I know due time always comes. So it's not if due time gonna come, but when due time gonna come. So you need to be getting up every morning with your neck stretched out. Somebody said, what you looking for? I'm looking for my due time. My God. Because I sense something getting ready to happen that you won't be able to explain all the intricate details of it. You're not gonna be able to sit back and take credit for it either. But when they ask you, how did it happen? You'll have no choice but to say, this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. All right, calm down. Okay, so hear what he said. Humble yourself. He says he's going to exalt you. So humility is the position I need to be in for God to do this. You're talking about get in position. I need to get in position for God to do some stuff. And that position is humility. All right, now watch this. So he gives us an illustration of it. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. To humble myself means that I am going to submit myself to God's plan and God's word. So when he says casting all your care on him because he cares for you, if you see me carrying care after he said that, and if you see me carrying stress after he said that, I am not a humble Christian. I am now prideful. I'm prideful. Why? Because he said something that I won't submit to. I'm prideful. Why? Because he instructed something that I won't subject myself to. And so he said, cast all your care upon him. What's my motivation? Because he cares for me. How much does he care for me? He says, if you'll submit to this and cast your care on me, then you'll find grace to take care of what you cared about. Oh, y'all hear what I'm saying? So what makes you think that carrying your care, that you have a potential to deal with it better than the God of grace? All God is trying to do is say, I want you to be able to find grace when you have care. So submit to casting your care, and you'll find grace to take care of your care. Submit to casting your care, and you'll find grace to take care of your care. Anybody got any care this morning? Well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to cast your care symbolically. Take this hand, put it in this hand, close this hand, put this hand back like you're finna throw it. Release it, okay? Now you're in a position of humility, and now what's getting ready to come back to you is grace to take care of the care. Don't pick it up again. Don't wait till church dismissing you up here in the pulpit trying to find the care you cast somewhere. Leave it alone. Because what will God do? God says, now there goes a humble Christian. They took their care. They did exactly what I said. They're going to find grace now to take care of that situation. It's the position of humility that allows you to experience the power of God's grace. Now watch very carefully. So, you know, me walking around full of care, full of stress, I'm prideful. Me walking around with no care and no stress, I'm humble. Now that takes faith, because as soon as you cast it, it's going to try to come back up again. And that's what you mean, actively fight. You say, nope, don't receive that in the name of Jesus. I've cast my care on the Lord, because he cares for me. Hallelujah. I thank God I got grace for it. I thank God I have grace for it. I think you're actively fighting against care trying to get back on you again. Now, I want you to watch something. This is fascinating to me. Let's give now the first definition of this, these two, so we can work on this. So first of all, based on what we've seen so far, pride at its root, pride at its core, is defined as self-centeredness. Pride at the root, pride at its core, is defined as self-centeredness. In other words, pride is when you're always in the center. And when you're always in the center, then you're subject to bitterness, you're subject to offense, you're subject to be hurt, you're subject to a lot of things because you're in the center. When you're in the center, you're in pride. Pride at its core is self-centeredness. Humility at its core is God-centeredness. God-centeredness. A humble man is God-centered. A prideful man is self-centered. When your life is God-centered, you're going to maintain your humility. When your life is self-centered, you will maintain your pride. Turn to your neighbor and say, get out of the center.
Get out of the center.
My wife and I have practiced this for some years. How Taffy treats me is none of my business. My business is how I treat her. How you treat other people, listen to me now, that's your business. Your business is not how other people treat you. Where they didn't speak to me, or where they didn't come see me, or I had a member of my family died and then nobody called me. That ain't none of your business. That only indicates that you have yourself in the center. And that only indicates that you are blocking and the grace of God can't get to you because you're out of position. You're in the center. Your business is how you treat somebody who lost somebody, how you treat somebody who's hurting, how you treat somebody that's going through. That's your business. Your business ain't how you're being treated. Your business is how you're treating. When you are in the center, grace is not in there with you. Pride is self-centeredness. Turn to your neighbor and say, take yourself out the center. If you're a husband, you came here this morning mad at your wife, you're in the center. You're in the center. No, but you don't understand what happened. All I asked her to do. Now, all I'm telling you is you in the center, Bubba. Back out. You put her in the center. You put her in the center. You don't never do what she asked you to do. You didn't think about that, did you? You don't never do. No, you take yourself out, put her in, and have a desire to serve her. I went to my wife the other night. I looked at her in her eyes. I know what she's doing. I know what God's getting ready to do with her. A lot of you are getting strong messages and stuff. And I said to her, may I be your servant. She looked at me and I said, may I be your servant. I recognize something. I got to decrease in order for what God is getting ready to do with her to increase. Okay? I know. Some of you men, y'all, you know, you're still a chauvinist. You still think, you know, I'm man. I'm the head of the house. I'm the man. That's your problem. He the man. You ain't the man. You need to humble yourself before the mighty God so he can give you the grace to be the man. Some of the dudes like, yeah, you ain't married to him. Yeah, whatever. To move from God-centeredness, to move from God-dependent. When you are God-centered and God-dependent, you are humble. To move from God-dependent down to self-dependent, to move from God-dependent down to self-centeredness, to move from humility to pride, you have fallen from grace. When you go from being humble to pride, you have fallen from grace. The issue is not, well, grace can't get in because you're prideful. The issue is when you fall from humility to pride, you're not even in the flow where grace is. You've fallen from grace. Look at Galatians 5 and 4 again. To move from God-centeredness and God-dependent to self-centeredness and self-dependent is to fall from grace. And Galatians 5 and 4 says, Christ is become of no effect unto you. You don't ever, as a Christian, want to come to the realization that Christ has no effect in your life. Think about that. The doctor tells you you got cancer, but Christ has no effect. You have lack, but Christ has no effect. You have problems in your relationships, but Christ has no effect. What in the world can a person do to be in this position where Christ has no effect? You fall from grace. You fall from being God-dependent to self-dependent. You fall from being humble to being prideful. Look what he says. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Why? Whosoever you are justified by the law. To be justified by the law means that you are no longer depending on God for your righteousness and justification. You're now depending on yourself. You fall from God-dependent to self-dependent, and Christ has no effect in your life. And then he tells you, whichever you who are justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. To be in pride is a clear indication that you are falling from grace. Here you are, you know about grace, you see the power of grace, but to be in pride, you have fallen from grace. You have taken yourself out of the prescribed position, humility, in order to walk in this grace. So a prideful guy has fallen from grace, and Christ has no effect in your life. He has no effect in your sick body. He has no effect in your bad relationship. He has no effect in your unemployment because you're still in the place of pride. Who wants to live like that? You're a Christian, you come to church, you pray, you do all of these things, but you're doing it in arrogance and in pride, thinking that you've got even the spiritual program to make God do something. You have fallen from grace, and Christ has no effect. I can't tell you the number of Christians I meet who think they figured God out. God's too big for you to figure him out. Do three shundas and one hallelujah and you think you got it. God is too big for you to figure him out. Whoo, glory to God. Now, I want to show you something now. Go to Jeremiah 10 and 23. I want to show you how to reach full potential. Listen to this scripture. It's the most fascinating thing I've ever seen. It's so humbling for me to see this. This is going to completely strip you of whatever you thought you were. Whatever arrogance you thought you walked in. And you remember, I should have bought a stick. I was going to get somebody to run outside and just grab me a stick right quick, but a pole, a stick. Oh, yeah, thanks, Fred. Yeah, that'll work just fine. That'll work just fine. Okay. Yeah, that'll work. That'll be perfect. This stick, let's call it pride. The whole stick is pride. But it's got a different end on it. It's got this end on it, which is arrogance. And it's got this black part on it, which is shyness and timidity. The whole stick is pride. Two different ends, but it's the same thing. On this end, it manifests arrogance. On this end, it manifests shyness and timidness and timidity. We have obviously seen arrogance as pride. We ain't got no problem with that. But we've never defined being shy as pride. Two different ends of the same stick, but it's still called pride.